Today on The Travel Guys, in the travel news, an NPR story discovers all's not fair when booking Airbnb if you are a person of color. And Disney will help you have a fairy tale wedding fit for a princess, but it will cost you a piece of the kingdom. At 3:20, the editor of CheapFlights.com joins us to give you some ideas on how to navigate the airfare landscape. Are the new cheap overseas flights on airlines like Norwegian Air really a good value? And what destinations in these United States are most affordable? Gwen Duncan is here at 3:35 to share a personal story about passport fees and what might be on the horizon for U.S. foreign travelers in the passport fees department. I have two Sports Leisure gift card winners to announce and an update on whether or not Congress is protecting air travelers coming up about 3:50. Plus, did you know you are already carrying some of your travel insurance in your wallet? I'm Mark Hoffman, live from Times Square in New York City, and you're taking a journey this Sunday with the Travel Guys. Welcome to this Sunday, May Day edition of The Travel Guys. I'm Mark Hoffman. Tom Romano is still recovering from a bout of pneumonia, perhaps at home listening on the radio today. Hope Tom will be back joining me in the co-host seat in the next couple of weeks. I am in New York City, looking out my window at the Marriott Marquis Hotel at Times Square, a rather soggy day here in New York City. A soggy day, but just about any day that you're in New York City is a good day, especially if you happen to be a fan of the theater. I have 25 folks here from Sacramento with me, and we had quite an arduous journey getting to New York City that included a 8-hour stay in the Denver airport and on assorted airplanes before getting here. I'll tell you all about that next week when I get home. But I did want to mention a few things in New York that our group has done, or just to give you perhaps a few things. You might be headed to the Big Apple at some point in the future. I know it's on just about everybody's bucket list if you haven't been here to get to New York and see some Broadway shows maybe. But New York has a lot more to offer than just Broadway. But speaking of Broadway, our group saw a show, a musical that's been out about a year here, that is not quite as irreverent as Book of Mormon, but has some of the folks from Book of Mormon involved in it in terms of writing and stuff like that. It's a show called Something Rotten. If you ever get a chance to get to New York City, or I am certain this show is going to have a long national tour run and is going to do very well. So you'll have an opportunity to see it in San Francisco or Sacramento at some point. But it's called Something Rotten, and basically the premise of it is two guys who are inventing the first ever musical back in the day of Shakespeare. And very, very well done. And I know that our folks really enjoyed it. Here in the Marriott Hotel, a brand new show has opened, Get On Your Feet. It's the story of Emilio and Gloria Estevan. And I have to tell you, a few of our folks went to see it last night and didn't give it particularly stellar reviews. I don't know that they hated it. They didn't necessarily pan it, but didn't feel it was good as the comedy they had seen the previous night, Something Rotten. Just this afternoon, had an opportunity here in New York City to see a new show. Actually, it's an old play. It's a one-man play. It's called Fully Committed. And it was really an enjoyable afternoon of theater here on Broadway, and something that you might, Jesse Tyler Ferguson is the one man who plays about 40 different characters over the course of a 90-minute show, and boy, that man is absolutely talented. If you think that name sounds familiar to you, that's because you see him on television in the show Modern Family. We've had lots of good food here. If you're ever in the Times Square area, I highly recommend Carmine's as a place to have a good, reasonably inexpensive Italian meal, especially if you have a group of people, six or eight or 10 of you traveling together, why the family style service at Carmine's is really quite good. Speaking of Italian food, we went up to the Bronx, and if you're ever up in the Bronx in the Little Italy area, the real Little Italy, not the two block one that's down here in Manhattan, but the real Little Italy up in the Bronx. Antonio's Trattoria is a place that you really should go to. We also had the opportunity to visit a Bronx firehouse and a police station and a couple of the shops there in Little Italy. We stopped in and saw Chris at Borgatti's Pasta and Jerome at Gino's Pastry and had a little bit of a foodie tour there with our lunch. Went over to Brooklyn yesterday. Norman O'Dare took us out to Coney Island and to Dumbo, and we tried some Grimaldi's pizza and some pizza made by the man whose last name is Grimaldi's but doesn't own his Grimaldi but doesn't own his own name anymore. That was all kind of fun. A rather soggy day out at Ellis Island today. Boy, that is a great place to visit. The Park Service has really done a terrific job there, and of course the Park Service is in the middle of their centennial year this year. And one travel tip that I really want to emphasize for you, if you are thinking of a trip to New York City, and that is to really, really, truly depend on public transportation, Uber, taxi cab, whatever your favorite mode is. But the subway system here is unsurpassed anywhere in the world. And parking is going to set you back. Here at the Marriott Hotel, certainly there are cheaper hotels to park at, but parking here is $65 for a night. Any hotel in the Midtown area in Manhattan is going to cost you probably $50. So take word to the wise, leave the rental car out of the program when you come to Manhattan. And the other thing is, if you're coming to the theater here in Manhattan, make sure that when you go for curtains at 7 or 8 o'clock at night, security is a little bit different going into theaters than it used to be. So it takes a little bit longer to get into the theater than it used to. So make sure that you allow for that when you come to New York. So there's a few little hints and tips from our visit to New York City. Of course, the Marriott Marquis Hotel here. An unpaid announcement for them. This is really a great hotel. If you can afford to stay here, your travel agent, or if in this case your tour operator can get you a rate that you can live with and you can afford the freight, this is certainly a wonderful hotel in the heart of Times Square. So enough of me babbling on. Let's get on to today's travel news. With an assist from Huey Lewis. And I mentioned it's a soggy day here in New York City. The Giants are in town, and after getting their hat handed to them Friday night and losing a tight game last night, where they won a rather soggy affair out at Shea Stadium today. In the travel news, Delta Airlines is in the news this week. An important deadline is coming up for Delta frequent flyers. If you are a Medallion member at Delta, know that the Delta Comfort Plus situation is changing a little bit in the middle of May. So if you are someone who has some status with Delta Airlines and you used to be able to reserve seats in the Comfort Plus, the Economy Plus section of the airplane without paying an extra fee for it, you're going to find that the rules are a little bit different. So if you're a Delta frequent flyer, I recommend that you check in and make sure that that the services and things that you think are important to you in their loyalty program are still there for you. Also, another word on airfare this week, Delta has pumped up airfares about $5 across the board, while Southwest has decided to lower some of their business airfares about $5 across the board. Kind of an interesting dichotomy there. We'll see, you know, airfare increases have to be kind of taken with a grain of salt, because the airlines will float probably three or four times as many airfare increases as they're able to make stick. So it depends on whether the competition follows, and if they don't, why usually the air increase is peeled back. United Airlines, it turns out, gave departing CEO Jeff Smyzik one hell of a golden handshake. Smyzik left his job as United Airlines CEO with over $36 million in benefits from the airlines, including a $4.9 million severance package, $1.7 million as part of the airline's annual incentive program, and $29 million in equity awards. And additionally, he was given lifetime flight privileges and parking benefits in Houston and Chicago. Goodness gracious. I can't even. It's almost hard to comment on it. The man screwed up an airline so badly, and it took them $36 million to get him to walk out the door. All right, Allegiant Airlines flies into Stockton, and we sometimes talk about Allegiant and Frontier and Spirit, some of the discount airlines and some of the challenges flying with them. The FAA has confirmed it is conducting an evaluation of Allegiant Air. This type of audit is common in the industry. It happens every 5 years with every major airline. Allegiant's inspection was not scheduled until 2018. However, regulators decided to move up the audit 2 years because of a series of recent mishaps, at least two incidents involving Allegiant planes having to make emergency landings because they did not have enough fuel on board, have come to the attention of the FAA, and so Allegiant is going to be looked at a little bit sooner. Enough said there. In the business world, Uber use has overtaken rental cars for the first time. 43% of ground transportation by business travelers is now by Uber or Lyft or one of its competitors, one of the ride-sharing services. And according to Certify, the second largest provider of travel and expense management software in North America, taxis are only providing 40% rental cars are only providing 40% of ground transportation. So Uber is now officially more popular than a rental car. And we mentioned in the headlines about Walt, about the Disney World, and about how they are offering some wonderful new wedding packages. If you would like to have a fairy tale wedding, it can happen at Disney. You can have, this is at specifically at Walt Disney World in Florida. You can ride, your bride can ride in a horse-drawn carriage down Main Street, USA, and be introduced to their guests through the sound of trumpets, and the whole thing can be just a fairy tale dream come true. If you can afford the freight, fairy tale weddings Disney World start at about $2,500, according to USA Today. Custom services start at about $1,200, and a customized ceremony and reception for 100 guests in the Magic Kingdom starts at $75,000. Yo, $75,000. And that is your travel news for today. Coming up next, we are going to talk to the editor at cheapairfares.com. She has some great wisdom to help make you a smarter traveler. The second half of the program offers Gwen Duncan on with some important passport information, and I have a story about some travel insurance that you may be carrying in your wallet. I'm Mark Hoffman. Tom Romano is away. Hopefully he'll be back with us soon. I'm Mark Hoffman, and live from New York City, I am one of the travel guys.
Chewing on a piece of grass, walking down the road.
Welcome back to the Travel Guys. I'm Mark Hoffman. We're brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Tom Romano is still recovering this weekend. Should be back, hopefully, in the studio with us next Sunday. Joining us on the line now is our guest, Melise Hinkle. Melise is the editor of CheapFlights.com, and she has all kinds of great ideas for things to make you a smarter traveler, great places to go. Welcome to the Travel Guy.
Thanks for having me.
Melise, tell us, you are the editor at cheapflights.com. Tell us a little bit about what you do.
Sure. Well, we're a flight search company, and we've taken a deep dive into our data for the past 5 years, looking at flight prices found on our site through April for 50 of our most popular destinations recently. So we're currently seeing airfares at a five-year low heading into the summer travel season. So I wanted to talk a little bit about that today, whether you're looking for a quick weekend getaway or thinking about finally taking that dream trip. It's really good news for travelers.
And why do you think the fares are lower? Is this just a direct result of the fuel situation, of what it takes to fly an airplane being less expensive?
Well, there are a couple of different factors. Fuel costs are down, as you mentioned, which is a key factor. But we're also seeing a growing amount of competition from low-cost carriers and overseas players. So that's contributing to the downward trend in prices, too. There are some awesome destinations that are benefiting from these airfare wars. We're seeing some really good fares to cities like Chicago, Orlando, New York, and London. In terms of international travel, the U.S. dollar is strong, making it a banner year for traveling overseas. And we have international low-cost carriers like WOW Air and Norwegian Air that have been keeping the competition strong, too.
Now, should people, we often kind of caution our listeners about flying with airlines like Frontier and Spirit and some of the budget domestic carriers, but it seems as though the Norwegian carrier that's coming into town is doing things a little bit differently, perhaps not quite as bare bones as some of the domestic bare bones carriers.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of unbundling going on, but it really allows you to kind of tailor the flying experience to your needs. I'm flying to Norway next month, actually, on Norwegian Air, and my flight from Boston to Oslo is only $175. So you can really get a good deal on the base fares.
And if I can ask, you start with $175 base fare. Will that be the fare that you pay when you actually get on the plane, or will you add some things like seat selection and luggage and things like that to it?
Sure. I've already factored in my baggage, so I tend to pack light, and I'll be taking only a carry-on, so that fee has already been factored into that price. But beyond that, if I did want any sort of extras, then yes, there would be ancillary fees for those items. So you just kind of have to pick and choose what works for you and what you need during your travels.
Melise, you mentioned that these airfares, lowest in 5 years, are creating some real values. Tell us about some of those. You mentioned a few of them there. Tell us about some of the destinations that you think are really hot this summer.
Sure. Well, year on year, we have some value domestic destinations out of Sacramento, specifically, that are trending down in price. Places like Vegas and Los Angeles are cheap destinations, but for those value domestic deals, we have some places like Boston and Hawaii that are trending down this year for travelers out of Sacramento. When you look at the wider Bay Area, some of those value domestic deals are places like Chicago and even Anchorage, Alaska, which is kind of an interesting one.
Wow, that's interesting that Anchorage would come up on some place, because of course Anchorage is somewhat of a seasonal destination. Now, are you talking about Anchorage as being inexpensive as a pre-summer or in the heart of the vacation season, or both?
So yeah, that's really a value deal. So year on year, a destination that's trending down in price.
Okay. Some of the more affordable destinations for this year, I mean, whether it's from Sacramento or just heading out anywhere, what are some of the destinations that are not only that you're finding that people are flocking to, but that perhaps offer a little bit better value than others?
Sure. Well, I mentioned Vegas and L.A., which are some domestic deals that we're seeing across the board. Other national deals that we're seeing domestically are Miami, places like Fort Myers. Also looking at some international deals, places like London, Costa Rica, and Bangkok are also some key deals that are trending down this year as well.
Melise, there's a lot of discussion always about when the best time to buy an airline ticket is, how much before folks travel. And generally we're seeing 5 to 8 weeks before. Would you kind of concur with that logic?
Sure. Well, airlines are constantly tinkering with their approach schedules and when they release deals. And just when you think you've figured it out and cracked the code, they'll change it up. Some airlines have more regular schedules than others, but even then it will inevitably vary by things like route and time of year. So ultimately, you really have to do your homework and be thorough in your research. But we tend to find the best deals either very far in advance or at the last minute.
We're talking with Melise Hinkle. She is the editor at cheapflights.com. And Melise, let me just ask here, when we're folks that are getting ready to head out for the summer, and give us a few hints. The TSA is telling us that lines are going to be long this summer. And we've talked a lot about that on this program, about what folks can do to be proactive and stuff like that. Hey, give us a couple of tips for things that folks should consider when they're planning their travel this summer.
Sure. So savvy shoppers can really get a good bang for their travel buck this summer. So some of the basics: sign up for deal alerts and newsletters to keep tabs on the latest deals. Pay attention to social media posts and follow your favorite travel providers. Many airlines and hotels will use social media to promote their last-minute deals and flash sales. And then looking at the type of trip that you'd like to take instead of getting hung up on a specific destination. For example, deciding you like to go on a beach and golfing trip instead of just focusing on going to Hilton Head, South Carolina. You'll really open yourself up to more options that way and likely some more savings. One of our biggest pieces of advice, though, is always to do your homework and research thoroughly and be as flexible as you can with your travel plans, steering clear of crowds. So even moving your travel dates around by just a few days can help you save really big. Try flexible search and calendar options when you're looking for flights or vacation packages online to see more deals. Also, if you aren't tied to a school schedule, get a head start on your summer travel with a trip in late May, June, or then even looking forward to September when the next school year starts up and you can kind of beat those crowds.
Wow, Melise, that's an earful of travel tips and things to make you a smarter traveler right there. Before I let you go, cheapflights.com is where you make your home. Tell us a little bit about what your website is and what it does for folks. I mean, obviously, Cheap Flights is pretty explanatory in itself, but give us a little bit more.
Sure. Cheapflights.com lets you compare deals, look for flights. You can also check out our travel blog there for more tips and inspiration.
Melise Hinkle, thank you very much for joining us on the Travel Guys today. And maybe we'll check back in with you when the summer season is gone and the snowflakes are starting to fall and get some winter tips from you also.
Sounds great. Happy travels.
And I guess I probably should have asked Melise there. She mentioned the phrase unbundling, which I guess to somebody listening on the radio might be a little confusing. She's talking about some of the discount airfare companies when they, like Spirit and Frontier and the new Norwegian Air WOW, which is flying into San Francisco, about how you're just buying a ticket, meaning they've unbundled, they've taken out baggage and many other things, seat selection and all that. They're selling all that to you individually. So if you're willing to do without all of those things, indeed, you can travel super cheap. If you're not willing to do without all those things and you add them all in, you may find your ticket costs more than it would have cost to fly on a real airline in the first place. All right, we're at the bottom of the hour now here on the Travel Guys. I'm Mark Hoffman, live from Times Square in New York City. Everything you hear on the program today can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. We are brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Gwen Duncan joins me right after the news on KFBK. Welcome back to the second half of the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman minus Tom Romano with you from Times Square in New York City, looking out the window of my 29-story room here at the Marriott Marquis Hotel and looking across at the many video billboards that now line Times Square. In the old days, it was neon lights. Nowadays, it is absolute video. It's video everywhere, including the largest billboard in the world is on the video billboard in the world is on the front of the Marriott Marquis Hotel. All right. You can find everything we talk about on today's show at TravelGuysRadio.com. All one word. Links to find out connections to our guests, the news stories, and oftentimes we post things at TravelGuysRadio.com that we don't always have the time to discuss on the air, but things that we think that you might find interesting. You'll also find a host of podcasts and old stories there, links to things that you may find that may help you be a smarter traveler. I mentioned in the headlines a news story and then didn't mention it in the news, so I wanted to take a minute here. NPR came out with a very interesting story this week, how hidden bias shapes the sharing economy. And specifically, they talked to some folks who found that booking Airbnb while black was a lot different than booking Airbnb while white. And I found this to be kind of interesting. Specifically, they talked to a young lady whose first name is Cortina. She said that she was struggling to get a room on Airbnb. She would send a request to a host and wait and then get declined. And the host would come up with excuses like, oh, someone actually just booked it, or some of my regulars are coming to town and they're going to stay. But she would check back and find out days later that those dates were still available at the property that she wanted to book. And she was wondering what was going on, got to talking to some of her friends. And of course, when you're booking on Airbnb, folks that you're booking with can see your picture and tell a little bit about you. Your picture, of course, would reveal something about your racial identity. She found that when she changed her name to just Tina and changed her photo to a picture of a landscape, She never had any issues ever again. The folks at Harvard Business School ran an experiment on Airbnb, sending out 6,400 requests, and found that indeed certain types of names and certain types of pictures got certain types of response. I guess this is perhaps a reflection of our society as a whole, but it's just very interesting. I had never realized before that perhaps some forms of prejudice would carry over to our new sharing economy. All right, let's move on. Joining me on the phone is Gwen Duncan. Gwen from Cordially Yours Travel. Gwen, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Well, thank you. So you're in a wet New York City, huh?
I am. It's a little soggy here, but through the wonders of amazing modern radio technology, you know, Gwen, we used to use this big complicated piece of equipment when we were out on the road. It costs about $3,500 and is real complicated to set up, and you've got to have a special kind of line and stuff. And now we downloaded a $30 app onto a phone, and it works almost as good.
Oh, that was wonderful.
Yeah, there you go. So I'm on one phone, you're on another. You in Sacramento these days?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay.
I know you wanted to talk about the... Yeah, go ahead.
Yes, we wanted to talk about the we call it the passport, the visa waiver program, and you had a personal story to share with us that kind of is really kind of lets you know that, hey, you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Or you treat, you know, visitors one way in your country. When you come to visit us, that's the way we're going to treat you. Please share.
Yes. This was about 3 years ago. Ron and I went to on a cruise, and we were going to leave out of Chile, and we flew into Santiago, and as soon as we touched our feet to the ground, we had to buy a visa. It was an on-site visa just to take the bus from the airport over to the ship, get on the ship and leave. We didn't do anything there, but it was called a reciprocity fee, and we paid $131 a piece just for the privilege of going across. Now, the United States has a visa waiver program, and by the way, Chile stopped that in 2015, and so they have waived the reciprocity fees now, and Argentina just did that for the United States. So those are two that just recently, within the last year, have eliminated them. But the United States is holding fast on not giving visa waivers to five countries that are in the EU, which is a total of 28 countries, five of those countries. They were given 2 years to change their mind, and the United States, instead of eliminating those five and compromising what the EU wanted, they decided that they were not only going to keep those keep the visa requirements, but they were also going to enhance the requirements for those people who could come here, have to fill out an electronic program that it says it proves that you can come to the United States. All the rest of the EU has to do that. And they've enhanced it, and they're asking some ridiculous questions. I sent you the stuff. I'll post it on the internet, but they ask them things like, have you been involved with terrorism? And no one's going to say yes
to
that stuff.
And what's happening, Gwen, is that what these countries are saying is that, and the reason this is important to people who travel internationally, Poland, for example, is one of those countries in the EU. Yeah. Romania is another one. So if you're traveling to Poland, then, and if the Polish people cannot get if they're not part of the visa waiver program to come to our country, then why should they be waving us in the door when we go to visit them? And allow me here just to take a minute and kind of explain to our listeners, the visa waiver program really is terribly misnamed, because what that does is it makes people think, well, these people can get into the country with no problem at all. That is not the case. What it is, it really should be called an enhanced security program or something. United States has done with a lot of countries is, because the law enforcement cooperation and connections are strong enough to be able to vet people in advance, those countries do not need a visa to come in, because we don't need to know more information about those people. In essence, the people who are coming in on the visa waiver program are actually a little more vetted than some of the people who are coming in from other countries who just have applied for a visa. But it scares a lot of people. It particularly scares Dianne Feinstein, who I believe is head of the Homeland Security Committee in the Senate. She is very big on Homeland Security, and this whole visa waiver thing scares her. But the reality is that we're not waving and saying, oh, you folks don't have to do anything, just come on in. What we're saying is that the law enforcement relationship between our country and your country is strong enough that we feel more comfortable with allowing your people to come here with a little bit less scrutiny because we have the ability to check them out very easily. So that probably sounds complicated to folks who are listening, but the important part of this, the point of all of this, is that as a country, we can't, and as citizens of our country, we can't expect when we go to another place to visit to be treated any differently than we treat them when they come here.
That's right. But the key thing for your listeners to know is there's July the 12th of this year, the EU is going to make a recommendation whether to impose visas for the United States for all EU countries. They're going to talk about it, and if they decide to instate us being required to have visas, they're going to give us 4 months to 6 months, and that's going to be totally disruptive. I've got to tell you, you used to be the National Tour Operators Association. Well, you still are. But the European Tour Operators Association believes that they're lobbying well enough to show what the economic impact is going to be on Europe, because we're pretty resilient. We like to travel, irregardless of the terrorism threats. But this is going to impact, it's the gross national product, tourism. It's a gross national product for a good number of those countries.
It's going to make it very more difficult and more arduous. For example, Chris Galloway, one of our reporters and a member of my staff, is headed off on a European vacation with some friends for 3 weeks, and they're going to visit a number of different countries. And all of those countries, I believe, or most of them, are on that waiver list. So they're consequently getting in and out of a lot of countries in Europe. The countries are small over there, many of them. And so it's possible to visit 6 or 8 countries if you wanted to on one vacation, or to pass freely between a couple of countries 2 or 3 times during your stay. If the visa requirements are toughened and you have to have a visa for all of those, not only is it going to be more work beforehand, it's going to be more delays when you get there. So, and I'm not advocating for any particular thing here. I just hope that our legislators, our Congress, people in Congress, our senators, and our representatives, Mr. Barra and Ms. Matsui, I'm speaking to you, is to look at this very carefully and decide where the law enforcement protection and coverage is strong enough that, and remember, do unto others as you would have others do unto you. You've got to balance security and humanity, and if there gets to be too much security and too little humanity, then that's not a good thing for all of us.
But I can tell you that the administrative process, is processing 10 million visas, is going to be a task that might be very difficult for them on that end.
Can you imagine what the weight, oh my goodness,
yeah,
that would be just a bureaucratic nightmare for an extended period of time when it went into effect, which is probably what some of the folks in Europe are hoping for, is that, you know, they will create for us what we have created for them.
Yeah, it's going to be a nightmare for cruise operators, tour operators, everybody, and for the passengers, obviously.
Hey, Gwen, before I let you go, I see that the TSA has come out with, you know, we've been talking for several weeks now how the TSA lines at the airport are going to be, it could be really awful this summer. And I will tell you that in Sacramento the other day when I was leaving with my group, they were indeed pretty arduous. Interestingly enough, the pre-check line was longer than the regular line. But TSA has come out with, how ironic is that? Hypothetically, the pre-check line should move faster because people are not having to do as many as many things when they get up there. But TSA has come out and told folks that they are trying to correct the situation by hiring as many people as quickly as they can. I'm wondering why that wasn't done in November or December instead of April and May. But nonetheless, It's my government, so yeah, exactly. But what the TSA is saying is that if folks will cooperate and really, really, really be vigilant on trying to remember not to put that bottle of water, to leave that bottle of water in their carry-on, or that big thing of shampoo. You know, a lot of folks now are not checking bags because of the cost of checking bags with many carriers. So they are taking one bag through and they're trying to take all of their toiletries and everything. And sometimes they forget that 3.4 ounce rule and run through there with a 6 ounce thing of shampoo. Well, now the guy's got to open the bag. It slows the whole line down. I mean, every time one person has to be. Yeah. So really what you can best do besides getting there, and the TSA points this out, besides getting there early and allowing time, how you can help the whole situation is before you seal up that suitcase, take up 60 seconds and think to yourself, especially in that toiletry bag, is there anything there that's going to cause a problem? And if there is, and you figure it out ahead of time, you're going to do us all a huge favor.
Yes, it saves so much. I mean, it's frustrating for the frequent flyer like yourself and me to have to stand in lines and you just wait and wait. And I do the TSA, but many times TSA doesn't have the personnel there.
I mean, no, they don't.
Really, it sucks.
that's the issue right now, and I'm really kind of wondering why. You know, this isn't the first busy travel summer, so hopefully, if it gets enough public exposure and they scramble enough. And the other thing is we need is not three or four people standing around at every checkpoint with their finger in their nose. But the other thing, but really and truly, the public, they are correct. The TSA is right. There is the traveling public has a responsibility here. So, yeah. You know, folks, before you go to the airport, be a smarter traveler. Do the greatest favor you can do to your fellow travelers. And that is make sure that your bag is security clean before you ever go to the airport. Maybe we should do a segment on that. Gwen, next time you're on in a couple weeks, maybe we should talk about some of the things that people frequently forget to take out of their suitcase and stuff like that.
I think that'd be
Gwen
valuable.
Duncan?
I think that, yes.
It would be.
Thank
Gwen Duncan
you.
From Cordially Yours Travel in Sacramento. You can get a link to Gwen's travel agency if you go to travelguysradio.com, and Gwen can help you with independent travels of all kind. Gwen, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. Gwen Duncan from Cordially Yours Travel. I am Mark Hoffman, one half of the Travel Guys. When we come back after this break, we're going to talk a little bit about the travel insurance that you might have in your wallet. Plus, last week we did not have a travel card winner, so this week we will have two coming up right after the break. Welcome back to the Travel Guys. Mark Hoffman here with you. Our last segment as we round this front stretch and head for home here. Let's see here. A couple of news. I better do this first because last week I forgot to give away the Sports Leisure Vacations travel card. And there are a few people who tend to listen to this program on a regular basis. The way you can, in order to have a chance to win that prize, you can enter the contest. We give away a travel card every week. You are automatically entered if you travel with Sports Leisure Vacations for 3 weeks after your travel, or if you would like to enter by not traveling, you can go to travelguysradio.com, just take the comment form and write the word contest in the subject line and send it to us, and we will automatically throw your entry into the bin for 3 weeks. And we've already had at least one winner from somebody who has entered online. So our two winners for today, these are two $100 travel cards. You need to call the Sports Leisure office by Tuesday afternoon at 4 p.m. to claim your prize. Sally Wander, W-A-N-D-E-R, who went to Washington, D.C. with us, and Judy Nishimura. Judy Nishimura and Sally Wander. Judy was on a Hawaii trip, so two of our longer distance travelers are winners this week. Judy Nishimura and Sally Wander, call the Sports Leisure office to win your $100 tour certificate. All right, let's see here. We've talked for a number of weeks on this program about the bill that is working its way through Congress that is reauthorizing the Federal Aviation Administration, the FAA. And the Senate, the most recent version of the Senate bill passed this week, and I wanted to just give you a quick rundown. The House will take it up now, and they've already been through this once and couldn't come together, so and had to come up with an emergency extension. We'll hope that they can get together now. But here are some of the highlights from a traveler's point of view from this current edition. Airlines will be required to refund passengers' bag fees if their luggage is lost or delayed by more than 6 hours after their domestic flight. flight arrived or 12 hours after international flight. In other words, if you paid American Airlines $25 to check your bag, or $35 or $100, and it doesn't show up within that when you get there or within that time frame, they have to give you the money back that you paid. I know that seems like a no-brainer, but to the airlines it hasn't been. Airlines will also have to refund fees for seat assignments and early boarding if the passenger does not receive the services. Again, you would think that would be a no-brainer. If you bought something from me, or you went to the local grocery store and you bought something, you didn't get it, then you wouldn't expect to have to pay for it. But for the airlines, that apparently has been a difficult thing for them to understand. Yay, here's a good one. Bans the use of cell phone calls on flights. So we keep the skies free from cell phone calls. This is kind of interesting. It doubles the number of TSA teams from 30 to 60 to patrol non-checkpoint areas, such as baggage claim or check-in areas. My thought would be that's wonderful to patrol those areas, but perhaps if we had enough people to just get people through security and onto their airplanes before they left, that would be a great idea. This is another point in the new Senate FAA reauthorization bill, requires the airlines to install a second barrier, such as a mesh gate, between the cockpit and the seating area, so that when pilots open the cockpit door, if you fly, for example, on United Airlines, you know they just move a big cart in the way to keep folks out of the cockpit area, but they will now have to install a locking mesh screen, as some airlines do have. The Senate bill did not address reforming air traffic control system and privatizing it, and it also did not have the amendment by Senator Charles Schumer from New York that would have set minimum standards for the distance between airline seats. So there are a few things for passengers in there, perhaps not everything that we had hoped for. We will keep an eye on it and let you know how that progresses through the House of Representatives. Does the word slowly come to mind? I mentioned that you might have some travel insurance in your wallet that you didn't know you had. And the reality is that many credit cards carry some travel benefits that you might not ever think of. And you may not even realize that you have them when you need them. Maybe you've missed, your luggage got lost or delayed or stolen, or there's a flight delay causes you to miss a connecting flight, or you're stuck on the tarmac for a long time or something like that. And there are some of these things have loopholes and they get them, the credit card companies, out of a lot of this coverage, but many of them don't. Trip interruption and delay is something that is fairly common, or trip cancellation where you have to cancel for a medical reason or something like that. You may not have cancellation protection with the insurance company. It is possible that your credit card, that one of the credit cards that you're carrying in your wallet, American Express is famous for these types of extra travel benefits. Let me give you just an example. American Express has a roadside assistance hotline. So if you're not a member of AAA or something like that, your car breaks down on the road, you can use your American Express card to summon assistance. You still have to pay for it. It's not free, but it is at least a form of travel insurance. Many American Express cards have travel accident insurance. Many American Express cards cover liability insurance for rental cards. But many Visa and MasterCard cards have many of these types of coverage. So I strongly suggest to you that you take the cards out of your wallet and you get spend an evening on the computer and spend a couple hours, go to the websites and figure out what benefits might be available to you in your wallet that you didn't even know you had. It might save you a lot of money someday. All right, that brings us to the end of this edition of the Travel Guys. A special thank you to Andy and James and our old friend Luis for all of his assistance in helping to make today's show go live from New York City. I will be back in the studio next week in Sacramento. You all have a wonderful week. I'm Mark Hoffman. We are the Travel Guys. Thanks for spending part of your Sunday with us.